Let's pray once more before we look to the scripture. Father, I just thank you for each person that's here. I thank you, Lord, for their influence, Lord, for their impact and the difference that they make in this world. I pray, Father, that it just increase and grow. Lord, I pray that tonight would be another step up for us, Lord, as leaders in our personal lives, Lord, in our workplace, Lord, in every opportunity that you give us, that we'll have influence on others. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul again. We talked about him last month, but there's so much we could learn from the Apostle Paul about leadership. Obviously, one of the key figures of the New Testament, and the New Testament church wrote so much of the New Testament. Now, most people say, well, he wrote most of it, but he didn't actually write most of it, unless you count Hebrews. If you just go by sheer volume, Luke actually wrote more in Luke and Acts than all of Paul's epistles. But he wrote so much of the New Testament, and especially so much of the New Testament after the Gospels, and just realized the impact of influence that he had on the early church, but that he still has. And so there's a lot that we can learn from him. You know, he really helped guide the New Testament church to stay on the right track at times when there were challenges and struggles. He helped the church to stay on the right track. He was just a great leader. He was the leader that a lot of the pastors and other leaders of the time looked to. God used him as a great apostle to lead. He wasn't shy about leading. In fact, he was bold enough to tell people to follow him and imitate him. I mean, most of us would probably be pretty offended with leaders to say such things nowadays, although it ought to certainly be, well, at least unsaid, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, it ought to be implied, even if it's not said outright. But Paul said, follow me. He said, imitate me. In fact, I want to read to you some of those scriptures tonight. But he led by example. He never told people, just do what I say. He never just told people what to do, but he set an example for them. 1 Corinthians 4:16. I'm just going to go through these. I gave you the references for them, and you can certainly look them up later or try to stay with me if you can or watch them on the screen. But he says, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. That's pretty clear. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now, you don't want to imitate anybody that's not imitating Jesus. You don't want to follow somebody that's not following Jesus. But he says, follow me, imitate me as I follow, as I imitate Christ. Philippians 3:17, he says, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who walk so as you have us for a pattern. Great example of leadership. Over and over, he could say, follow my example. Do what we're doing. You'll be all right. 2 Thessalonians 3:9. To make ourselves as an example of how you should follow us. One more, Philippians 4:9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, there's a great goal for us as leaders to be able to say to other people, follow me. Do like I do. If we can get to the place where other people can look at us and just follow our example, and we're really helping them in their relationship with God, that's a good place to be. In fact, I'm just going to take it a step further and say, to some degree, we have to be able to say that if we're going to lead people spiritually. I mean, if they can't follow your example and grow spiritually and get closer to God, then they probably shouldn't be following your example. Amen? Are y'all with me tonight? Y'all kind of quiet on me, but see, we're not perfect. Neither was Paul, but I'm just saying, see, we got to get that perfectionist mindset out of your mind. And I'm not talking about being perfect. Paul wasn't perfect, but he was living a life where he could say to others, follow my example. And church, we need to be those kind of leaders where we can say to people, follow my example. I'm going to show you the right way. Well, what we're going to look at tonight is one of Paul's strengths that is so desperately needed in leadership in our generation. Paul persevered. He persevered. I can tell you're excited. Not so much, right? You're like, boy, that's exciting. Not a real popular trait in our culture. In fact, here's the theme of the day. Hey, go ahead and try it, and if it goes good and it's easy and it's fun, we'll keep doing it. But you know what? If you run into some trouble or it gets difficult, well, just find a different way. Go a different route. Do something else. That's the theme of the day. So I realize that perseverance is not a real popular, exciting trait to talk about, but I'm telling you, it is desperately needed. That's all the more reason it's desperately needed in our generation. Leaders that will persevere, that won't stop, that won't quit, that will just keep going. He persevered. I read this passage to you last month, but I just decided I got to read this one again. 2 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read 23 through 28. It says, he says, are they ministers? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Here's a man that had to persevere. I mean, if you were whipped with a cat of nine tails 5 times, you were persevering because he got it 5 times. I mean, stuff just kept happening to him, but he just kept going. Most people, it would have been one thing like that, and they'd say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. This isn't what this is supposed to be like. You get that same kind of response sometimes when people start working with junior hires. I didn't sign up for this. Now, some of you know, I used to be a junior high youth pastor, and I liked it. What does that tell you about me? But anyway, they say, I didn't sign up for this, but Paul just kept going, no matter what happened to him. And people betrayed him. He talks about false brothers. Listen, the whole point of this passage really is he's dealing with people who were disrespecting him and didn't acknowledge his leadership and has that ever happened to you? But he just kept going. He was rejected. He was cursed. He was beaten, stoned, hated, falsely accused. Times when he was all alone. Times when he did without. He had every opportunity to quit. But he just kept going. You know, from the very beginning of his ministry, it was tough. I mean, he was persecuting the church. He was having people thrown in prison. He stood by while they stoned Stephen to death. And now this guy is supposed to be preaching the gospel. Can you imagine how the church received him? Well, a lot of it didn't. And a lot of people would have just said, well, I tried. But Paul just kept going. The Lord sent him to the most difficult places to do the most difficult things, and he just kept going. So when we talk about leadership, now, I talk about these things, all right? I want you to understand. But these are things that every Christian leader who talks about leadership, we emphasize these things. We talk about character. That's important, amen, for leaders. We talk about faith. It's amazing to me as we study the men and women of God in regards to leadership in the Scripture, over and over this one comes up, that you got to have faith. And we talk a lot about how important it is that we lead people with faith. And we talk a whole lot about influence. In fact, they say that leadership is influence. That's one of the ways that people define it today in our generation. They talk about influence all the time when it comes to leadership. Well, let me tell you something. Perseverance shows character. Perseverance takes faith. And perseverance will multiply your influence. How much character does it take to lead for a day? How much character does it take to lead for a week, a month? How much character does it take to lead for a year? Not much. How much character does it take to lead for 40 years? We in this church, most of you have been part of the church long enough to know that Brother and Sister Nichols pastored the church for 50 years. Let me tell you, that's character. And that takes perseverance. So you want to talk about character, then you got to talk about perseverance. Because anybody can have character for a day. What does that mean? But to keep going and to keep going and to keep going, that takes real character. It's perseverance. Perseverance has so much to do with your faith. See, as long as you believe, you'll keep going. People quit because they get to the place where they think it doesn't matter. They think that they're not making a difference. It doesn't matter. They think that a certain obstacle or challenge that they've come up against, that they think this situation won't change, and so they quit. And I'm just telling you, it comes down to the simple fact that you got to have that perseverance to keep on believing. To just be steadfast and keep on believing. It takes perseverance. How many can you influence in 1 year? Then how many can you influence in 10 years? Come on now, the math's not that hard. 10 times. You know what? It's actually far more than that. Because as we continue to grow and follow the Lord, and we're letting God use us to influence and impact the lives of others, I want to tell you, your influence grows. Your leadership grows. Where you once were leading one, now you're leading 10 at a time. I'm just telling you that God will bless you and grow you if you are faithful. That's what the Scripture says. The one that's a faithful steward, that he's going to give them even more. He's going to trust them with even more. But I'm telling you, here's the point, that if you don't persevere, you're not going to have much influence. Influenced a few for a little while, but who knows what God would have done if you just persevered and just kept going and kept going and kept going. This message, I'm telling you, I feel as strongly about this message as any of them I've preached in the last year and a half about leadership. I think this is just right on spot for our culture. I think we need this message as much or more than any of the other messages on leadership. I'm just telling you, we need leaders who will persevere, who just won't quit, will just stick with it and keep going. We talk about character, talk about faith, and talk about influence, but if you leave perseverance out of it, you're not talking about much of any of the three. Such a desperate need in our generation for leaders. And we wonder why we don't have true spiritual leaders in government when we have Christian men who can't even lead their family to church once a week. And we want to talk about politicians who won't do the right thing. And they can't even lead their family to church. I didn't get one amen. Amen. I'm just going to go right on anyway, because I'm telling you, we need real leaders. We need men and women who will stand up and do what's right and persevere. Well, I tried to get my family to come. Well, keep on. Persevere. Don't quit. I'm going to keep going. It's not my fault, y'all. Somebody's been praying for me to preach boldly. Jesus said, make disciples. And the real key issue with making disciples is having leaders. You got to have real disciples, disciple makers, if you're going to make disciples. And I'm telling you that in the church today, when people say, how come we're not strong in this? Or how come we're not ministering in this way? We don't have that. I'm telling you, 90% of the time, listen to me, it's not money, it's leaders. That's where the void is. The single greatest cause of the void of leadership today in our generation is simply that so many quit. For one reason or another, they just decide that they don't want to lead and they want to sit back and put their feet up, usually in front of the TV. Instead of really leading. I've seen it over and over. When I was a young man, 18 years old, I was a part of a great youth group. And we went on a missions trip and did a lot of things that just saw the Lord move. A lot of exciting things that happened in our lives. And there was a whole bunch of us that wanted to be in full-time ministry. And within 3 years, there was only one of us that was still even trying. Just 3 years, just right out of the gate, and they all gave up. Now, I'm not just trying to pat myself on the back, but I'm saying, hey, about some things, I'm not perfect, but about some things, I can say like the Apostle Paul, I can say, follow me. I wanted to be in full-time ministry so bad that I went to work at a church as their youth pastor for free. They said, we can't pay you. I said, I don't care. Then after 3 months, they said, you know what? We'll pay you $100 a week if you'll clean the church. I said, all right. Now, the point here I'm wanting you to get is not about the money. It's about the refusal to quit. I'm going to be in full-time ministry. God's called me and I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay after it. I'm just going to keep going and keep going and keep going. And when I got my feelings hurt and somebody broke my heart and all this, I just kept going and kept going. And I'm telling you, you got to get to the place. If you're really going to lead, you got to have perseverance. You got to refuse to quit. I know so many people that at one time were in ministry, but now they do something else. Why? Did you know I've never, ever heard one of them say, the Lord told me to leave the ministry. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying I've never heard one say that. What I hear is they start talking about the things that happened to them and how they were wronged and how they were disappointed and things just didn't work out. And so they're doing this now. You know, it's the people and problems. By the way, ministry is all about people. And when you got people and you got problems, you got pain. They all three go together in ministry. So, I'm not trying to trick y'all into being leaders. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because that's what happens to so many people, is they get disillusioned in leadership. You going to work with people? It's all about people. If you're not working with people, you're not leading. It's all about people. That's what the kingdom's all about. God wants people. So, it's about people. And whenever you work with people, guess what? There's going to be problems. You know why? Because we're people. And when there's problems, I can tell you there's going to be pain. And they say it's lonely at the top. I can tell you this for sure, that the leader is never left out of the pain, sooner or later. Why do so many quit? I'm talking about full-time ministry here for a minute, and we're going to get past this in just a minute, but I just want to tell you, Jonathan, our youth pastor, he's been a youth pastor now for a little over 6 years, and now when he gets together with other youth pastors in the area, he almost always is the youth pastor with the longest tenure. Most of these guys have been a youth pastor for 1 or 2 years, and so they're like, wow, you've been doing this forever. And he's like, Dad, I've been doing this 6 years, and they think that I'm the oldie, you know. But I want to tell you, the first 3 years, it was tough. The deck was stacked against him. And see, some people, they get it all mixed up. You know, nepotism, youth pastor is the pastor's son. Oh, yeah, I've walked that road myself. And people think that you're not called or you're not gifted and you're not anointed to do it because, well, you're the pastor's son. And he fought through that. He worked through that. He just kept going and kept going and kept going. First 3 years, it was tough. Saw almost no growth. But he was building. Things were happening. After 3 years, it started growing. It's been growing steadily for 3 years now. And at year five, about a few months back, or maybe even a full year ago, but it's just beginning to snowball now, where there is such a great harvest in our youth group. I'm just telling you, it's the hottest thing in town. But it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen just because he showed up. It happened because he persevered and he just kept going and kept going. And I want to encourage you that whatever you do for God, there's going to be some times when you're thinking, now why am I doing this? This isn't that fun. I don't see anything happen. I don't see any fruit. I'm sowing, but I ain't reaping. And I'm just telling you that the key is that you have to persevere. Now, as I said, I hope you understand that we're not just talking about full-time ministry. I'm just using full-time ministry as an example. When it comes to lay leaders, listen, the turnover is even higher. I mean, it's one thing when it's your paycheck, but when it's no big deal, you can just quit doing that and just go do something else. It's so easy for people to quit. And I'm telling you that the church desperately needs people who will persevere, who won't quit. I've had so many tell me. In fact, I've got to preface this. Don't be offended if you're one of the ones that told me this, okay? I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, okay? I'm just saying, I have had so many people tell me, I used to do this. I just want to call them used to. Okay, used to. But what I really want to say is, what are you doing now? There's some I've loved enough to say that. So I want you to know, I know what it's like to be hurt. I know what it feels like to feel burned out. And I even know what it feels like to kind of lose the will to keep going. But I also know that you can't stay there, that you got to get back in. And that's why I'm challenging you and I'm calling you. If you're one of those ones and you're thinking, well, you know, I used to, I'm challenging you. I'm calling out to you. Listen, it's time for you to get back in. I understand. But you need to move on from there. You can't stay there. Get healed. Get refreshed. Get full. Get back at it. These people need you. I've seen gifted leaders. I'm talking about God called, God gifted, God or anointed people doing nothing. I tell you, the enemy just works overtime trying to discourage and get people down just to keep them from doing what God called them to do. You got to persevere. Last month, a leadership message was about the cost of leadership, and we talked about the Apostle Paul. But the cost of leadership is one of the key issues why so many don't make it, why they quit, why they just step back. It's just painful sometimes, but don't quit. So I want to give you 7 simple things that you have to do if you're going to persevere. I don't like it when preachers tell us what to do and don't tell us how to do it. So tonight, I want to do that. I want to give you 7 simple things that you need to do if you're going to persevere. In fact, if you don't do these, I'm just telling you, it's going to be, there's some of these. If you don't do them, it's impossible to persevere, all right? You got to do these 7 simple things. I said simple. I didn't say easy, right? So here they are. First, you must have a sense of destiny and purpose. Paul had that. 1 Corinthians 1:1, he said, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, if you've read much of Paul's letters, you know that I could have pulled literally dozens of scriptures because he talked about his calling and the vision the Lord gave him and what he was supposed to do. I mean, he knew that he knew that he knew that God had a call in his life and there were things that he was destined to do. And I'm telling you, you may not be called to full-time ministry. You may not be called to go on missions and around the world. But God has called you to do something. And you need to realize that you matter in the kingdom of God. That it makes a difference. See, I think one reason that so many people get discouraged and quit is because they don't think they matter. If you knew what God knows, that you can make a difference in somebody else's eternity, then you wouldn't quit. It doesn't matter if you're talking about raising godly children or leading a small group or talking to people about the Lord. If you believe that you make a difference, then you won't quit. You'll persevere. You know that it matters. Then you'll keep going. But if you don't know that you matter, then there'll come a time when you won't bother. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, stick with it. Because you know it's not in vain. You got to know that. Number two, keep believing. Here's what Paul knew in Galatians 6, 9. He says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. If we don't give up, we are going to reap a harvest. But I'm telling you, so many people encounter some disappointment, some difficulty, some battle. And because they don't believe, they quit. If you believe, if you'll just keep believing, you can persevere. Here's a page from the diary of John Wesley. Sunday, a.m., May 5th. Preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back. Makes me feel better. Sunday, p.m. Preached in St. John's, deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday, a.m., May 12th. Priest in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday, a.m., May 19th, preached in St. somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday, p.m., May 19th, preached on street, kicked off street. Sunday, a.m., May 26th, preached in meadow, chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during service. Wow. Sunday, a.m., June 2nd, preached out on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday, p.m., June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. Most people wouldn't have got past the first service. I'm telling you, you got to believe that God will come through, that God will do something. If you don't believe, you'll quit. Paul said, I've kept the faith. And there's going to be times, listen, if God's involved in it, there's going to be times when it looks impossible because God is pleased with faith. He likes it when He has to show up. If you can just do it on your own, it ain't God. I'm telling you, you're going to have to use your faith. There's going to be times when you'll quit unless you believe. Number three, look to the Lord for strength. None of us can do this on our own. We can't think that we're just that strong or I've got the will. Listen, we all need the Lord's help. Philippians 4:11 or 12 and 13, Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, no matter how good things are, how bad things are, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul didn't write this one, but I got to get this one in. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the next time that you say, I just can't anymore. This is kind of emotional for me because I've been there. I know. You just say, I can't do it. But He can. And He gives us the strength. You see, you can't leave your relationship with God out of the equation. When we get to the place where we just can't do it anymore, He's there to give us the strength. And I'm telling you that if we don't find that strength in the Lord, the problem is that there's a problem with our relationship with God. Because as long as we're really walking with Him and talking to Him and trusting in Him, I'm telling you, He will give you the strength that you need to keep going. But when your relationship with God is weak, I'm just telling you, it's easy to quit. Number four. receive forgiveness. It's amazing to me when you read the Bible how many of God's greatest leaders had some huge failure in their life. And yet, it is one of the greatest tricks of Satan to accuse you, to beat you down, to tell you that you can't lead, that you can't do anything for God because you've messed up. You ask God for forgiveness, you need to receive it and realize that He is in the business of turning lives around. He is in the business of using those that the world thought couldn't be used. He forgives. And He is able to use us in spite of our failures. But you got to receive that forgiveness or you just quit. Number five. I left this one just totally blank just to get you people that are think you can fill in all the blanks before I get to them. That's not really why. It's just one word. Forgive. If you're going to do anything for God, as I said about 10 times in this message, there's going to be some pain. There's going to be times when you invest in people and you go out of your way to give and to do and to serve. And those very people sometimes will betray you. Sometimes they will stab you in the back. Sometimes they'll just leave. And if you don't forgive, it will cripple you and keep you from being effective for God. But if you can forgive, if you can turn it over to the Lord, it won't even slow you down. You'll just go right on with God. Now, I was talking about people that you're investing in and people that you're leading, but I have to say this as well. You know, a lot of people have been hurt by somebody that they looked up to or that was over them in leadership. And I'm just telling you, the same principle still holds. You got to forgive. I've had several times in my ministry when I was working under somebody else where they knew they were doing me wrong. They told me. They knew it wasn't right. And I just told them, I said, "This is between you and God." And I meant it. That doesn't mean it didn't hurt. But I knew that it wasn't my place to deal with it. My place was to forgive. And I got to tell you that I just went right on with God. And God took care of that situation. He always does. But I'm just saying you've got to forgive. If you don't forgive, you won't last in any kind of leadership, any kind of ministry. The sooner or later, that bitterness and the hurts will eat you up. It'll get you down, and you'll just say, it ain't worth it. You got to learn to forgive, turn it over to God, and let it go. If you don't forgive, you won't be able to persevere. Number six, receive healing. Now, this one goes right along with that, but you can't do this one if you don't do that one. You know what I'm saying? You can't receive healing if you won't forgive. But we serve a God who is our healer. He binds up the brokenhearted. Listen, I know that it may hurt for a while, but God will comfort you. He'll get you through. He'll help you make it. You may cry yourself to sleep. I'm telling you, God will get you through, and He will heal those wounds so that you can go on. You got to receive healing. When you get hurt, it's not supposed to be the end of your influence. And I know this may just sound a little crazy, but when you get hurt, if you'll still lead, you may do the best leading you've ever done in your life. Let me tell you why. Because there's so many people who are hurt And they need to see somebody do it right. How do you do this when you get hurt? They need to see leaders who still serve God and still do the right thing and still answering the call of God in their life, even when they're hurt. How do we expect other people to do it if we don't do it? That's when they need you to step up. How's that work? You let the Lord bear your griefs and carry your sorrows. That's how that works. Number 7. This one's really profound. Don't quit. I know, I've been telling you the other 6 were about how to not quit. But I just feel like I'm obeying the Lord. I'm just going to give it to you the way I got it, all right? Just don't quit. Just refuse. Listen, when all else fails, just keep going. Things will work out. You will finish your task. You'll complete your course. And you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Sometimes you might just be putting one foot in front of the other. And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And you just keep going. But just don't quit. You got to persevere. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the promises of Scripture. I thank you, Lord, for the principles of your word that give us light and show us the way. And Father, I just pray tonight that we would truly stand up and be leaders in this dark generation. Lord, that you would use us to help the lost, the wounded, the hurting. Lord, those that are bound, those that don't have a clue. Lord, use us. Use us, Lord. And Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight. Lord, I just pray that they be encouraged in the Lord tonight. That you're not done with them. That you still have a great plan for them. You still have a destiny, things that you have planned out for them to accomplish for your kingdom. Lives that they're to touch. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that every one of them will rise up and answer that call and fulfill the plan of God in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to know I love you. I hope I didn't make you mad tonight. I know I was pretty blunt about some things, but sometimes we need that, church. And I want you to know I'd love to pray with you. If you need special prayer, myself or other prayer partners will be here at the front if you'd like prayer. But I'm just going to dismiss you, and I just encourage you to keep those notes and go over those 7 at least once more, would you? Don't forget, if you don't need them right now, well, you will. Just keep leading. Amen. Lord bless you.